I talk about vitamin C a lot on this podcast. That is because it is an antioxidant that comes with many skincare benefits when used both internally and externally. You've probably heard me mention a few times before that I use a vitamin C serum almost daily. Well, what I've been keeping secret is that I have also been using My Body Greens Vitamin C Potency Plus. Our newest supplement to the market delivers 100 milligrams or 1 gram of vitamin C plus 100 milligrams of citrus bioflavonoids in just 2 capsules. This is very important because your body cannot make vitamin C on its own, like it can make many other antioxidants. This means you must ingest vitamin C daily to get your fill. And guess what? Almost half of the U.S. adult population has a vitamin C gap or nutritional inadequacy. I mean, that is not great for many overall health reasons, but for beauty purposes, it is especially worrisome for one particular reason: collagen. Your body needs vitamin C to promote collagen synthesis. Additionally, it helps support your skin's barrier and fights oxidative stress by actively neutralizing free radicals. For our listeners, you get a very special discount if you use the code VITAMINCPOD. Type in that code and you will get 25% off a la carte and subscription. If you want more information, please visit the URL mindbodygreen.com/vitamincpod and you can read all about it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mind Body Greens Beauty Podcast, Clean Beauty School. I am your host and Mind Body Greens Beauty Director, Alexandra Inkler. On this podcast, we explore beauty through the lens of well-being. And today's episode is our second special episode where we are covering this year's well-being forecast. If you joined us last week, you heard us go over the first beauty trend, which was skin longevity. This week, we are talking about the science of aesthetic aging and how aging is not just about the skin. And to do so, I am having on the lovely Jamie Schneider again. Just to remind you, she is the beauty editor here at Mind Body Green, and she is fabulous and so smart. And I cannot wait to chat with her about this trend. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
I am so excited to get into it again. I feel like this trend is one that you and I have been talking about at great length, just one-on-one. I know that you and I both have very strong feelings about what we're about to talk about. For everybody listening, I definitely encourage you to read the trend. I will put a link in the show notes, but to give you an overview before our conversation, I just wanted to explain what the trend was about. So the top line note is that aging is not just about the skin. I know in the beauty industry, we spend a huge portion of our time talking about the skin. And I don't think that's wrong. I think the skin is an organ and it is very important to put time and effort and resources into taking care of. However, the skin is not the only part of aging that we should care about. There are actually many factors that contribute to how your face ages over time. That includes bone density, that includes muscles, that includes fat loss, that includes your lymphatic system, and then it includes the skin and changes to the skin. Aging is a much more robust and complicated endeavor than just, oh, wiping away this wrinkle or fading in this dark spot. And this is something that I really started thinking about earlier this year, thanks to an episode of Clean Beauty School with Lisa Goodman. I've known Lisa for a very long time, and certainly her work has influenced my point of view on many occasions. Chatting with her again and reconnecting with her this year, it's really helped me hone in on some of my own beliefs on aging. Not only that, but we have seen some really exciting developments in the world of aesthetics. Things like PRF, stem cell technology, exome therapy, more sophisticated use of neurotoxins and fillers, as well as treatments that harness your body's own regenerative systems, such as soft wave and various radio frequency tools. The time is ripe to approach aging from a more robust point of view, where you are able to address bone loss and you are able to address changes in your muscle balance. And it's not just these in-office treatments or these pricey protocols. It also is about our lifestyle choices. If we think about aging from a holistic lens, a lens that is not just about changes to the skin, then you start entering the world of lifestyle dermatology. And lifestyle dermatology is the relatively new sect of dermatology that focuses primarily on lifestyle changes to help support your skin and aesthetic health. We'll turn to lifestyle dermatology to relearn the building blocks of a healthy body and healthy skin and healthy face. In the future, I think that we're really going to start viewing bone health as a part of our skincare routine, right? Focusing on making sure that you avoid as much bone loss as you can as you age. That will be a fundamental part of your beauty routine. Same thing with muscles, encouraging strong, healthy, balanced muscles, specifically facial muscles or neck muscles or shoulder muscles. That will be an important part of our overall beauty routine. Same thing with lymphatic system. Right now, that's a pretty robust part of at least the holistic side of beauty, but I can see that entering the broader beauty space. And I think this trend is really exciting because it addresses the totality of the face, right? If we just focus on wrinkles or we just focus on changes to the skin, we're never going to get the ultimate outcome that we want. And it makes wrinkles the enemy when they never were. Even little kids have wrinkles. If kids smile, they get crow's feet. So wrinkles were never the enemy to begin with. So when we only target wrinkles, we ultimately end up making our faces look honestly a little uncanny valley. So when we take a wider approach and we broaden our scope of what it means to have a beauty routine, honestly, we end up looking more like ourselves. So that's an overall wide brush stroke of the trend. I definitely encourage you to go ahead and read it to reacquaint yourself with some of the things that we've been talking about at MindBodyGreen and dive a little bit deeper into the science there. But I'm really excited about it. And Jamie, I'm so excited to chat with you about it because, like I said, you and I have talked about this trend at length, one-on-one and as a beauty team. And I, of course, have to ask you about how Gen Z is approaching this trend, because again, you keep me young. So, you know, why don't we start off with how is Gen Z approaching filler and Botox? Because I'm a millennial. And when I was like 25 or so, and I had just started becoming a beauty editor, that's when preventative Botox really started becoming a thing. That's when it started entering the zeitgeist. That's when the phrase became buzzy. And most of the people around me started getting preventative Botox at 25 as well. And I'm curious, how has Gen Z approached getting filler and Botox? And where do they stand?
Yeah, I will caveat by saying preventative Botox, I don't think has gone away. I definitely have friends who have gotten preventative Botox since they were in their early 20s and still continue to get it. I think what's interesting, though, is that there has been a shift in that people are way more transparent about what they get and where they get it. I would even argue more than they ever have been. I feel like it used to be this sort of hush thing where it's like, oh, I just woke up like this. And posting on social media and giving people a lot of anxiety, right? But now people are like, I absolutely did not wake up like this. Here's what I did to look this way, which I think is healthier in terms of mentally. That being said, I think this trend is important just because it focuses on more sophisticated ways to use neurotoxins and filler, which I think is important. I also think for Gen Z, asymmetry is becoming way more important than it ever was. Again, as we talked about last week with these TikTok filters that just give you insecurities that you didn't even realize existed, such as the inverted filter where it lets you see what your face looks like in an inverted way and basically highlights any asymmetries you may have. So I think asymmetry is becoming even more important to address just because people are realizing that they have asymmetries that they didn't even know about. But I think that's also why this forecast is important, just because there are things you can do to address the asymmetries in your face due to muscle before resorting to filler or even using filler in a sophisticated way to address that rather than just addressing it at the skin level, which is what you discuss.
I think what you are talking about with asymmetries is really fascinating because research shows that asymmetries do get worse with age. And those come primarily from muscle asymmetries. Our bodies have lots of asymmetries in them naturally. It's a totally normal thing to have. But because of the way we move our bodies and how life happens to our bodies, oftentimes those asymmetries become more pronounced over time. And I do think it's really interesting that asymmetries are becoming a bigger topic of conversation within the beauty space because I really don't ever really remember talking about them when I was 25, right? Like when we talked about filler or Botox, like we were strictly talking about wrinkles, getting rid of wrinkles, or like plumping up maybe your cheekbones, maybe your lips. But it was like truly just about wrinkles. It was these tools were being used as wrinkle reducers solely. And I think it's interesting that's shifting.
Totally. It is becoming more holistic with every passing year, which is exciting. I'm curious, just to throw the question back at you, I know your thoughts on Botox and filler, and you obviously oversee all of our beauty content on the site. And I know we're not anti-Botox by any means, but we certainly don't cover it as much in stories as other publications. So I'm curious, do you suspect a shift for us editorially in how we talk about it? And does it change your personal thoughts on Botox and filler at all?
So it does. And I think that surprised even me. And maybe this is me just getting older and all of a sudden these sort of things become much more appealing. But I also think it is because there are practitioners who are using these tools, these medicines, in a more sophisticated manner. And I think what turned me off on neuromodulators or fillers was just how they were being used and the overuse and the outcomes of using them in such a way. And now that I see that there is much more sophistication and now that I see that you can use things like Botox as muscle rehabilitators, for example, I do think that it has opened up the conversation for me personally of engaging with some of these injectables or possibly covering them more on the site. I still haven't gone down the route of getting them, but I would be lying if I said that I haven't thought about it over the past year. And I do think that it's okay to be open about it and to be open to changing your thoughts on this sort of stuff. And I think it's okay to do that, especially if you find practitioners who do approach these injectables with more sophistication. Because I think what scared myself off and a lot of people off is just how they were being overused. And I am still against their overuse. And I am still against overfilled faces or faces that don't move. I want my face to move. I want my face to have life. But I think there are time and there is a time and a place to them should you want them. And so, yeah, long story short, my views have changed recently, and I don't know if I'll get them, even though my views have changed on them. I haven't really made that decision yet. Maybe I never will. Maybe I'll just always be this wishy-washy person that is maybe one day. But yeah, it's interesting. I think Lisa Goodman, she has a quote in the article that I do like that talks about this idea that the generation before us, just because they did it badly, doesn't mean that the rest of us should have to be scared of them. And I do think that's a valuable insight, right?
Totally. And I think it's okay to change your mind. Even if you do get filler, I don't think you have to be married to one camp or the other. Maybe you have gotten it and you don't want to get it again, and that's okay. Or as you're saying, you don't know what the future holds, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be divisive.
I think that's such a good point, because recently you're seeing a lot of celebrities too talk about this shift where maybe they were getting Botox a lot and then they stopped doing it, or they overfilled their face and then they stopped. I think there are even examples of celebrities doing that and shifting their approach.
And something I have been thinking about, just because I think this is a common argument for preventative Botox or baby Botox, some people say that by teaching your muscles to relax at a younger age, like getting Botox can teach those muscles to stop moving and holding tension, can help you learn how to rest your face. And so that later on, you don't rest your face in that way, and that inherently prevents wrinkles. It's almost like microdosing in a way, because it's like you might get it once or twice, but just not long term, to like teach your muscles how to relax. What do you think about that?
In the context that you just said, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I do think that it's a perfect example of somebody using Botox as a muscle rehabilitator, which I think is a really interesting use of Botox, because that's exactly what it is doing, is you are rehabilitating the way that you use your muscles and you're teaching yourself. I think I will always be against marketing this sort of stuff to young kids. I think the only thing that gives me pause about this is, at what point are we encouraging people to start doing this? And certainly if somebody at 25 is an adult and they can make their own decision, I don't care about that. I think I'll always just have a little bit of reservation of just encouraging people to do this sort of stuff younger and younger. Even if I think it's done with sophistication, I think that I will always have a little bit of reservation there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Because it hasn't been marketed in that way that we're talking about, with the nuance and the context. It's right now it's marketed as baby Botox.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's say I'm a listener. I'm thinking, yes, I'm so on board with this. What are some of the ways that you and the experts talked about that someone could take away from this trend? Like, how could someone enter this new wave of aesthetic aging at home, assuming with their own tools?
Yeah. So the last third of the article, we get into the concept of lifestyle dermatology and the ways in which your lifestyle practices can help support your overall aesthetic aging. Let's just stay on the muscle train, for example, right? So one thing that I spoke to people about is, if you want to support your muscles with age, first, you have to feed yourself adequate protein. We talk a lot about protein at MindBodyGreen. So that's one. Make sure your diet is robust and prioritizes protein. That will give your muscles the amino acids it needs to remain strong. In addition, it will give your skin the amino acids it needs to create collagen and elastin and keratin. So you get a 2-for-1 deal there. Outside of that, a lot of dermatologists that I talk to, they love microcurrents for muscle health. So microcurrent tools are on the pricier side, but if you're looking for an at-home tool, they're certainly worth the investment. I personally love microcurrents. These are especially helpful for muscle health. They can strengthen and tone the muscles in the skin so that you get that nice sculpted look. On top of that, they can actually help encourage ATP production in the muscles. So ATP production, it's basically like your body's energy currency. So it allows energy to travel through these various pathways. And so by increasing ATP in the muscles, you are increasing cellular energy throughout the body and throughout the skin. So I think that is a great at-home tool. And then finally, the last thing I'll say about helping your muscles at home is facial massage and neck massage and jawline massage. All of these things, all these places where we hold tension, it's really important to manually relieve that tension in the areas where you feel it most, because that is how you are going to develop these muscle asymmetries. So it's little stuff like that that can go a long way over time. I think people, they get into facial massages for a week or something and they say, oh, I don't see a difference. Forget this. I'm done with it. But that's not the point of facial massage. Like, facial massage is a long-term endeavor that helps your muscles stay more balanced throughout your lifetime. So that way you don't necessarily have to go and correct them later with something like Botox or with something like filler. So that is how I would encourage somebody to support their muscle health at home. And we talked about bone health. We talked about lymphatic health. We talked about the fat pads in our face. All of those things, they can be addressed through lifestyle dermatology. And I explain a few other routes in the article, so be sure to check it out. But these things, you don't just have to go to the doctor's office to address these things, right? You have the power within your hands to take care of your body. And I hope that if somebody reads this article, that is one of the main takeaways that they walk away with.
Especially microcurrent. I know you said facial massage takes consistency, but microcurrent totally does too. And I know experts say to do it 5 to 7 times a week. I think that can be hard for some people, myself included. So I really try to do it 2 to 3 times a week. It's just like working out. I don't work out 5 times a week. I probably work out like 3 times a week, maybe 2, which is great. And so I think I treat that the same way with microcurrent. So if someone can feel overwhelmed by keeping up a consistent routine, even the beauty editors do 2 to 3 times a week and it's okay.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm somebody who I do try to stay on top of my skincare tools as much as possible, but I don't know, we're human. Life happens. It's okay. All right, Jamie, this was so much fun. Thank you for coming to chat with me today about this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Super fun.
All right, I will see you later, and all of our listeners, I will see you guys in the new year. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. For more beauty content from the team at MindBodyGreen, you can always read along with our content at mindbodygreen.com, follow us on social media, and of course, tune into next week's episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review us. And if you ever want to reach out with questions or insights or thoughts, you can find me on Instagram at Alex_Blair_. Thanks so much for your time.